info.
And we are the nation's number one talk station. We're reaching you live from Etim Inyang Crescent here on the island. Victoria Island, to be very precise, Lagos, Nigeria. Now, let's get on with our last conversation for the day this morning. We're looking at the G5 of the PDP, the presidential candidates of the PDP, the endorsements flying everywhere. Aha. So many political heavyweights have thrown their weight behind the prolonged crisis in the People's Democratic Party, the PDP, particularly on the G5 governors. Their position, some have described as being, you know, tallied with what of their 19 northern APC counterparts with regards to power shift did some time back. And why some are asking if the five PDP governors named the G5 governors are genuinely concerned about the political future of Nigeria or maybe about their personal comfort, some are interested in knowing whether the lingering crisis bedeviling the PDP at the national level would be resolved before the February 25 presidential election. It's looking like it may never be resolved, but hey, this is what we know. Is the grouse of the five aggrieved G5 governors about the party's presidential candidate Atiku Abubakar, or their grouse is about the leadership of the party led by Dr. Yocha Ayu? We can never tell because we've been hearing all sides, all angles to that particular grouse. Now, would the PDP, with or without the G5 governors, will the PDP win the first coming election? I can tell you that nobody can tell exactly whether that will be the case, because right now the election coming up next month, nobody can really tell. But I have a member of the PDP PCC on the show. Ose Anene is here joining me via the telephone. Ose, good morning to you. Thank you for joining me.
Good morning and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year
to
you.
I'm only here to get your endorsement. That's
I am not going to endorse you. Come and pay homage. How are you doing?
I'm very fine. Happy New Year, Lagos.
Let's begin this way, right? Let's begin this way. What's your thought concerning the G5's position of Yocha Ayu stepping down?
I think you ask a very good question about what they've asked and the reason they've asked for it. It makes absolutely no sense because they say that Atiku is from the north, Ayu is from the north, the DJ of our campaign is from the north. So what they want to do is, by asking for Ayu to step down, they want it to come to the south. And on the surface of it, that's a reasonable request, because you look at it and it does seem that the campaign and the leadership of the party is north-heavy, right? It's north-leaning. But Nation Wike is a lawyer, and so he understands, you know, how constitutions work. Mm. Ayu is from Benue State, he's from the Middle Belt, he's a Christian. The PDP constitution says that if the chairman is to step down or to resign or is removed, the deputy chairman from his zone, either from the north or the south, replaces him. So we have two of such, one from Oyo State and one, I think, from Bauchi. So if Ayu were to step down, again, a Middle Belt Christian, according to Governor Wike and the G5, he is replaced by a Muslim from the core north. And so you ask yourself, you know, I heard your intro, you're saying, are they really looking to remove Ayu, or are they pursuing some other interest?
Hmm.
And, you know, for me, you know, just looking at our constitution, their request doesn't cure the imbalance that they say that they want to cure.
Hmm.
What our candidates and our party have alluded to is that after elections, this rebalancing can occur. After election, if we win, Ayu can resign. But, you know, it's a reasonable response we are given, but it doesn't seem to be enough for the G5 governors, particularly Governor Wike.
It looks like your candidate, Atiku Abubakar, has moved on. It looks like there's not going to be any settlement or concession, especially from the party. Can the PDP do without these governors? Remember, from what I heard, it's not just about these governors alone. There are other 14 governors who are supporting them. On the low, there are other party elder statesmen who are also supporting them openly as well. Is this not too much of a risk for your candidate?
I mean, it's always a risk. I won't come up here and tell you that, you know, losing five governors or not getting their overt support, you know, is a good thing. I would love to go into the elections with all five governors, with Nyesom Wike, Governor Wike of Rivers, and Governor Shane McKinley of Oyo leading that charge, because they are very, very charismatic leaders. They have been, you know, their tenures as governors have been outstanding. To my mind, Governor Wike and Shane McKinley in particular are some of the best governors we've had in this current dispensation, including my governor, Governor Obaseki. So, you know, I won't come out here and say, you know, it doesn't matter that we might not have their support. It does matter, especially with this new Electoral Act that democratizes voting. Every single vote matters.
That's right.
You know, but we are politicians and we are pragmatic politicians at that. You said no one can tell who will win. You know, I'm the deputy director of polling for the campaign. So we poll internally and we have actually carved out a path to victory that doesn't include any of the states that any of these five governors lead.
Oh.
It's a more difficult path, admittedly, but it's there and it's possible, and we are confident that if we deploy our strategies, we'll win.
Hmm.
But that still doesn't mean that because we feel we can win without them, we want to go into the election without them. I think the stakes are too high. It increases the risk of APC remaining in power.
Mm-hmm.
And I always try to use this opportunity to appeal to these governors. You know, what we are contesting with cannot just be about politics or about egos. It's about the fate of this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are having record levels of unemployment, record levels of poverty, record levels of insecurity. And literally, this 2023 election, to my mind, make or mar elections for Nigeria. So again, I appeal to these governors, whatever your grouses are, whatever your grievances might be, they cannot be bigger than the problems Nigeria is facing.
How is the mind of the PCC working right now? Your collective mind, how is it working right now? Because I'm hearing quite a number of things from some members of the PCC. I've spoken with a couple of them. Some of them are seeing it as though the G5 have this sense of entitlement kind of thing. And so everybody wants to prove a point that the PDP does not belong to you. It belongs to, you know, everybody. The G5 governors seem to think that, you know, they've invested too much for somebody to come and, you know, hijack everything away from them. And so they feel that they deserve some kind of concessions. And from what I've gathered, there is no room for concession from your own side of the divide. I mean, how is your mind working collectively at the PCC? I want to know.
I mean, I have been in rooms where these types of conversations have happened, and they sort of distress me because, like I said, I think the problems we face in Nigeria, as Nigerians, supersede all these banal, you know, political.
Ose, be honest with me. Don't be political. What is going on with the PCC? No, how are you thinking?
For me personally, I've heard these conversations, and I think on both sides, in all parties. And I think they don't realize or recognize the problem in face of Nigeria. What is happening in our party now is we are moving from, you know, flat-out campaign stage to get-out-the-vote stage. You know, we are about 50 days to the elections.
Mm.
We are now looking to election day strategies. That's what's happening.
Okay.
And
okay,
we are, you know, there's a section of the party that is looking to maybe blunt any harm or damage the G5 governors might do.
Hmm.
There's a section of the PCC and the party that is still looking to reconcile and bring the governors back into the fold.
Mm-hmm.
But the overarching aim is ultimately anything that everybody is doing today must have an effect or impact on the outcome of the 2022 election. That is the mindset of the campaign now. Again,
right,
I would love to go into the election with the G5 governors. If they don't come, we believe we can win the elections, but it will just be a much more difficult ask. And you know, when you say my candidate isn't making concessions or has shut the door, that isn't as accurate.
Okay.
We are still, I know personally that His Excellency Atiku Abubakar is still open to reconciling with these G5 governors. It's just that what they are asking for is not something he can personally give.
Okay.
You know, and it frustrates me when you hear my candidate talk about reconciling the nation and forming a government of national unity and bringing everybody along, because the problems are so huge. You know, but, you know, people say that he's being standoffish and aloof and is putting out a posture that the party belongs to him. He has never expressed that in to me, publicly or privately. So I don't know where that perception is coming from.
Let me.
Public service is not an investment. It's service.
It's service.
So you cannot say it's public service. Therefore, you deserve. And you get a lot of that language coming from some opposition camps and even from some of the G5 governors. The PDP doesn't belong to anybody. Nigeria doesn't belong to anybody. That you've invested in it doesn't mean you must gain a return if it's not good governance and if it's not about improving the lives of people.
But then where do you put the statement of give and take? You work, then you get rewarded in politics. Think about that. But let me talk to you about...
Personal story.
Yeah. Hold on, Anani.
What you just said. No, hold on. Hold on, my brother.
Okay.
My father and my mother were one of the founding members of the party. I know personal sacrifices they have made to the party, to other people's elections and to the party. I ran for election, I don't know if you are aware.
Yes, I am aware.
Primaries this year, and I lost out in matters in a way that still leaves a bad taste in my mouth. You're not seeing me throwing a tantrum and throwing my toys out of the pram and saying that it is my inheritance, I deserve it. It can never be about that. It has to be about public service. And if one door is shut to you, then you look for other doors that you can serve. And I'm not seeing that attitude from my leaders, the G5 governors, who actually should be setting an example for younger politicians coming up.
Okay.
It cannot be about, you know, a zero-sum game. If I don't get it, I'm going to burn everything down. I'm a living example that it's possible to lose and still look for ways to serve. And maybe conversations like this, I hope they are listening. Maybe it might inspire them to, you know, take a look at what they are doing and ultimately what the effects of what they are doing will cost Nigeria.
I want to talk to you about their plan to reveal their candidates this month, maybe this week or next week. Already, Samuel Atom of Benue reportedly has revealed his own candidate. He said he's going for Peter Habibu. But last year, the governors, while in London, said that they will reveal their candidate. If they go for Bola Tinubu, how will it affect the chances of the PDP in next month's election? If they were to go for Peter Obi, how would this impact on your chances as a party in February 25 elections?
It would be an interesting one. So, for instance, I know River State is a PDP state. It's always been a PDP state.
Yeah.
I spoke about the new Electoral Act and how it has freed voters from the shackles of gatekeepers and leaders. If you recall Obasanjo's letter, I don't know if we'll talk about it.
Actually, he spoke directly
to young people, directly to voters. He didn't address stakeholders like typically would happen. You know, so I don't know how a Nelson Wike, for instance, endorsing Obi or a Tinubu is going to affect the PDP members in the states or the average voters in the states who have their own minds and have their own PVC.
You don't think he has that much influence on the voters?
Sorry?
You don't think he has that much influence on the voters?
No. Again, you know, I won't come up here and say that there's no effect or they have no influence. Of course they do. But whether all voters will sway one way or the other, Governor Wike has never shown that power. None of the governors have shown that power. All the elections are split usually between APC and PDP from 2015, I think. You know, so he would only be really be controlling the PDP vote, which is barely 500,000 in the state. It's a tough one. Again, I don't want to dismiss outright the influence because the influence exists. We would love to have their endorsement, but if it doesn't come, like I said, we have a clear path to victory that, you know, goes around the G5 governments.
Who would you say is the biggest threat to your candidate in next month's election?
That's a really good question. I think maybe, surprisingly, maybe President Buhari.
Excuse me. He's not vying for any office.
No, you said the biggest threat to our victory. Maybe President Buhari. Because the one individual or entity, yeah, the one entity that can push elections one way or the other, I think, still, even with the new Electoral Act, is the Nigerian state. And if the Nigerian state comes out and deploys for one candidate, like they did in 2019, where we saw record levels of state-sanctioned violence in the southern part of Nigeria, if the Nigerian state comes out and backs one candidate, then, you know, they will affect the outcome of the elections, I believe. Currently, the president's body language has been admirable. It sort of has been one of aloofness. And the Nigerian state seems to be posturing to take, you know, an unbiased stance. I haven't seen that before, ever. Even when the PDP was in government, you know, you would see the state sort of leaning towards one side or the other. And if President Buhari, on top of the signing of the Electoral Act, can maintain a neutral stance, then these elections will be probably the best we've ever had.
Indeed. Let's take a few calls. We'll take one or two before our first break in this hour. And then when we return, we'll talk about Obasanjo's letter and his open endorsement. Edwin Clark's endorsement as well has come in. All of these endorsements, we'll talk about them at the other end. But let's pick some calls to join the conversation this morning. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Sheriff.
Yes, please.
Please, I just want to have a question from your guest.
Yes, please.
In the PDP, right from 1999, when they have presidential candidate from the north, the Sharma is always from the south. Why is this an exception? And I think this is what those G5 guys are fighting for.
All right. Thank you. Ose?
Luckily, I'm a student of politics, and I'm a professor of PDP politics and PDP history. When Jonathan was running for office, I think in 2010-2011,
okay,
we had a northern chairman. If you recall, we got rid of Bola Force, and then we had a southern chairman who was in place till after the elections. So we've done it before. And again, the point is you cannot share or allocate what you don't have. You go into elections with your strongest hand, and then once you win, you start sharing principal offices. There are about six of them. They map to the six geopolitical zones. There's the presidency, there's the vice presidency, there's the Senate president, there's the Speaker of the Senate president, and the Speaker of the House of Reps. There's the, I think, SGF. And there's one more office, I can't remember. So, and the chairman of the party. So it is after you win elections, if your president is from the northeast, by God's grace, in 2023, you then automatically, our vice presidential candidate goes to the south-south, and then you then start mapping all the
other offices
across the remaining four geopolitical zones. That's what the party has always done.
If the G5 governors, if they end up working against the party, what are the likely sanctions of the party? Eviction from the party?
Okay, so let us talk constitution now. The constitution says to take part in an election, to be qualified for an election, you need not only to be sponsored by a party, which we've done. You know, we submitted names to INEC. INEC has logged them. You cannot change those names. Not only do you need to be sponsored by a party, you also need to be a member of a political party. So, you know, there is a constitutional stick the party can wield.
Okay.
If those governors are suspended or expelled for anti-party activities, then their candidatures become invalid.
Okay.
Of course, it means that we will lose out on those elections because all those governors who are either running for Senate or going for a second term, stand very good chances of winning. And like I said, they are really, really good public servants. So it would be a loss. You know, it would almost be like cutting off our nose to spite our face. But that constitutional stick does exist. Again, I've heard it. I've heard people discuss it, but at the highest levels, I don't think there's any real appetite to start expelling governors. Like I said, barely a month and a half to the
elections. Okay. I'm going to take this message here from ITK in Lekki, who says, the only threat to the presidential candidate of the PDP is Bola Tinubu, but your guest was politically naive to say that on air. He's saying that, I mean, it's the only threat that your president, your candidate has, is Bola Tinubu and not President Buhari.
I think the 2020 election are going to surprise a lot of people.
Okay.
I didn't want to be drawn into talking about other candidates, but if I were to rank them, I'm more concerned about Peter Obi than I am about Tinubu. Because, again, remember, the Constitution requires that you have not just the highest number of votes. You also are talking about spread. You need to get 25% in 24 states plus the FCT.
Right.
I don't know how he managed to do it. Tinubu has no path to getting 25% in 24 states from
really?
The FCT.
Okay.
And to my people in the APC, I don't understand why they didn't
give us. Let's step out. Let's go on a break, Ose.
I really don't understand why they didn't give us. Ose,
let's go on a break. Huh? We'll be back.
Your number one.
Every day is a new experience for me here. And look, see how excited I was coming into this studio. It was like a kid in a candy shop. What I enjoy doing the most here, let me put it in my own words, is Dear Bumi, because it's relaxing, it's hilarious. And of course, I for the life of me, I would never miss doing programs with Sheriff in the morning. It's one of the best, that's what keeps me alive and going. I think the one that I would remember the most, believe you me, is the one I did with Made Kuti, Femi's son. Every time I looked at, every time I think of the young guy, I feel so inspired because I'm always thinking of tomorrow. I'm youth driven. I'm not saying I'm a youth, though, but I'm youth driven. Oh, the best thing about being a radio show host is when people hold your hand in public, they pray for you, they send you messages and appreciate what you're doing. Because it's, apart from it being a big job, it's a sacrifice. If you want to do this job well, it is a big, big sacrifice. I'm not known to be a liar. I'm somebody who, and the reason why I don't lie about such things is I don't want to be caught out. Okay, so if I overslept, you hear me on radio saying, sorry, I came late, I overslept. I don't want anybody telling me that this is what happened. You know, I'm very conscious of that. So I don't think I ever lied not to be on air. And I've called ahead to say, because I'm a professional to the call, and you can ask those who work with me. If I can't make it, sometimes I'd call Sheriff in the morning and say, Sheriff, oh, let me. I'm tired. If I'm tired, I'm tired, you know. So I don't think I've been caught out as such. I can't remember any time.
It's the time of the year. Come, let's do it together. Anywhere you day, share it with your family and friends. Enjoy this Christmas.
Everyone has a Chivita this season. What's your Chivita?
On the first day of Christmas, my true love said to
hey
me.
Hey you, match break there. Now not that we won't take Singam this time.
On the first day of Christmas, I sent to my true love.
For this Christmas, not just receive, share. Make una share better for this Christmas with no seasoning cubes. And make una have a Merry Christmas. No, share the good.
Hola. I saw my friends and family, them bust my head, them send money, one more them go all out for me, yo.
All out, we tell us.
Plenty bills you got to pay, certain amount to get today.
for win.
20 brand new house.
24 Tata new cars.
100 generators.
200 sewing machine. 1,000 rechargeable fans.
And 1,000 upon 1,000 other prize them day.
Just dial *611# to enter and win inside the Globe Festival of Joy promo. Buy up to 20,000 Naira data. Your luck fish shine to win brand new house. If you cost your recharge or low data when cost from 500 Naira, go reach 10,000 Naira every month, week, or every day. New or Characa. Plus other fantabulous prize that fill on your hand.
You said you're on top bicycle they sleep.
Make your dial *611# now to enter and win. Terms and conditions there.
Hello, Unlimited.
Broski, my G. After you, now you.
I be one.
I beg, just cut and right there. I no get any money at all. I beg.
Baba, calm down.
Now your account number one.
My account number. You want use and borrow money, Abi? Hey, them right maga put on my head. And they ask you. Oh yeah, see the account number. What you mean? Yeah, 5 million naira. Yeah,
Baba. My new name na Solo Mega.
You say free change your life for from Bariga to Banana Island with Mega Millions Niger. Most of the biggest lotteries in the world don't land Niger. US Powerball, Mega Millions US, Super Enaloto, Euro Millions, and many other Obunge lotteries. Oh yeah, visit www.megamillionsniger.com to join the 30 BG gang.
This message is brought to you by Mega Millions Naija. Play it, win it. Not for those under 18.
Papa, mama, brother, sister. This Lagos must work for all of us. Everybody there,
I welcome Ona to 2023. This 2023, where you see so, life go better. Everybody go to live sitting where they like. For inside Obodo Lagos. Sake of say, this 2023, everybody go day free. From Agberuan, Lagos go free. From Gosolo, Lagos go free. From flood, where they full everywhere. Inside rain, and they never get solution to them. Lagos go free. From bad road them, Lagos go free. From local market, where no get time. Lagos go free. For robbery, where they shell it for inside Gosolo. But in our hand, we go use to choose better life for ourselves. Vote for Jandor. Make we come out Lagos from one individual hand. Where the summer everybody for. Vote for governor. We go get mind of himself. Where we go the proud of. Every time, every day. Fight for Lagos. Fight for your right. Jafeko Jafetwe. Vote PDP. PDP power.
Everybody Jafeko.
When something correct to go show, we go see our where.
The correct team of Kola Abiola and Haro Zego for president and vice president.
PRP Victory!
Welcome back to your number one talk news and sports station. This is Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info. Welcome back to the Morning Crossfire. With me, Sheriff Quadri. I have a member of the PDP PCC on the show. Oset Aneni is here with me by the telephone. Oset, thank you again for joining us on the show this morning. And so we have plenty of people who are willing to join the conversation, but we need to, and I would love for PDP members to call in and weigh in on this conversation we're having this morning, because it's a party conversation this morning, really. So I would love to hear, other PDP members. But let's talk about the open letter of President Muhammad, former President Obasanjo, where he openly endorsed Peter Obi. What's your thought on that?
I'm very jealous. very, very jealous. When we speak about His Excellency Alhaji Atiku Abubakar's achievements, almost every single thing he has done in public office, he did it under Obasanjo. He did it while he was Obasanjo's vice president. So if I want to talk about record levels of economic growth that Nigeria experienced between 1999 and 2007, it happened when Obasanjo was president and my candidate Atiku was head of the economic management team. You know, so I cannot, as much as anybody wants to, because I have heard some PDP members come out and speak in a disparaging manner about President Obasanjo, I cannot do that. He literally, to my mind, is one of the greatest presidents we've ever had. And he's one of the greatest Democrats. You know, I can come here and say that, you know, there were things he did that I might not have liked while he was president between 1999 and 2007. But a lot of people don't remember that. He was the one that handed over, when as military head of state, he handed over to a civilian government. I think it was Shagari. So, you know, he is a true and true lover of Nigeria. He's a true and true Democrat.
Mm.
There are decisions he might have made in the past that I don't agree with. Mm. Maybe I think he supported Buhari in 2015. But he's man enough to come out to say that the decisions we made back then are wrong. Nigeria is worse off today than it was in 2015. And to his mind, the best candidate, again, in his personal opinion, is Peter Obi. I have no quarrel with that. I have no quarrel at all with the character of President Obasanjo. I would have loved, you know, to be on here talking about how Obasanjo has endorsed us again, just like he did in 2019.
Mm.
He might have one vote, but he wields considerable influence locally and internationally. So his the letter was in two parts. The first part, he spoke very factually about the state of the nation and how perilous things are, and how desperate, you know, everyday life is for the average Nigerian. There's no disputing that. He then moves to say, because of the gravity of our situation, you know, he has looked at the candidates and he wants to pick Obi. One of the reasons why he wants to pick Obi, he has two reasons.
Okay.
He wants to pick Obi because Obi is a needle with a thread attached to him, and if he steps out of line, they can pull his ears. And then he also goes on to say that Obi has a vice presidential candidate who is young and incorruptible and of impeccable character. And it's just those two statements. I think it was just a paragraph, just one paragraph in a six-page letter. I don't think Nigeria needs a puppet president. I think Nigeria needs a president who will be his own man, who has plans he's going to roll out, and who will stay the path no matter how difficult it is. When pressure groups and stakeholders and gatekeepers come to say, you cannot do this thing because I have an interest in it.
Mm.
Articulate with that person, I believe, has the strength of character to resist external influence, just like you can see he's doing with the G5 governors. Despite the fact that it might cost him the election, he's refusing to, you know, to compromise his own values and beliefs and ideals. I think that's the type of president we need.
You think that a needle with a thread attached to it means a puppet president?
I think I don't want a president where former generals can pull his ear. Yeah, I don't want that.
Okay.
The second thing he says is that his vice presidential candidate is a man of impeachable character. A lot of people do not know that in 2011, Dati Ahmed ran for Senate under CPC and quote unquote won the election. McCarthy went to court and challenged him based on gross rigging, not just rigging, gross rigging.
Mm.
The votes were recounted and Dati Ahmed's victory was overturned and McCarthy announced as winner. So when you have, you know, a court adjudged election rigger, I don't think he's the type of person that you come out and say that he's a man of an impeachable character. Unless, of course, that time he now comes and says he wasn't the one that rigged. It was party agents and third parties that rigged on his behalf.
Hmm.
those are the only 2 points. You know, when you talk about the character of Betty Ahmed, I have serious issues with it, and serious issues with some of the statements that he has made publicly.
Okay.
And then he talks about Peter Obi being a president who he can pull. Mm-hmm. I'm not too comfortable. Again, just looking at Nigeria's recent history, where we have had weak presidents and how it has cost us,
yeah.
I'm not too comfortable with an endorsement built on the foundation of a president whose ears Roberto Joao Campo.
Okay, all right. Let's take a few more calls, and we'll talk about Edwin Clark's endorsement, the latest one. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, my name is John.
Welcome, John.
I'm calling from Ojodo.
Okay.
I've listened carefully to your guest in the house, and I rather want to like his approach to answering your questions, irrespective of his being a stakeholder in the PDP. But however, I want to fault his last statement.
Okay.
If you read that document Obasanjo wrote carefully,
mm-hmm.
what he said is that Obi is a thread that cuts across the geopolitical zones in all parts of the country. He didn't say he's a thread that can be pulled, right, by political bigwigs. Although he said when he's, you know, derailing, someone can easily direct him. And everybody needs people who can guide you. There's nobody, there's an adage in my place that says, he who, without having an experience of something, starts learning the thing, means that the person is a tricky human being. So you learn from experience. There are things that happen that you have to learn, you learn from. So I want to say that, irrespective of your guest, you know, trying to rule out the endorsement, if it had gone to Atiku, I'm sure his statement would have been different. If Obasanjo had endorsed Atiku, his approach will have been different. And that is one thing, problem we have in this country. We are party people. We forget that we should be Nigerians first before becoming party people. So the interest of the country should be paramount before the interest of your party, right? You see, like Obama. Mm. Obama did not support, current president.
John
Biden.
John.
Right? John, the first time because he felt that.
John, can you hear me? Sir? John, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you so much for your contribution. I need to take another call now.
Okay.
Thank you for calling me. I didn't want to interrupt John when he was talking, but I think he got the entire part of that letter wrong, because President Obasanjo did, you know, say that he's like a thread. He's like a needle with a thread attached to it. Quoting him verbatim now, and he says somebody whose ears can be pulled if he wants something like that. Maybe John did not read the letter, but it's okay. There's no point responding to that part. But let me take another call quickly. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, this is Pastor Ladipo calling from Murilegum.
Welcome.
I think for me, the PDP, the problem that is befalling the PDP is an in-house thing. So, if that, what is his name now, Jose, is trying to be a bit politically correct. So, for me, the PDP are the problems of themselves.
Okay.
They should just look inward. Like those 5G governors, my pain is that you lost the election. Before, prior to the election, you said you will work with whosoever. Why is post-election causing all these things? Can they meet up the things you people are demanding at now? It's not possible. Let them be reasonable for at least for the sake of Nigerians.
Okay.
Not for themselves.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Ladipo. Thank you for calling me. Let's take one more, then I'll come to you, Ose. We'll just take one more call. Maybe I should... let's take one more, then we'll take one message as well. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Yes, I was just listening to your guest, Mitchell, sir. I like the way he's naturally biased. He actually explained normally. But as regard to that pulling of ears, you know, everybody you can interpret it the way you want to.
Okay.
But the way I see it, to my own opinion, is that... He wants a president that will have a listening ear, that will be able to have sympathy for the people. A president that when you call upon him, he will listen.
Okay.
Not the one that will abandon you. A president that can visit when there is an issue in a country like ours. You know, a president that can see the situation of things and listen to advice. Do you understand? Because nobody's an island. He that is even in your studio, you have people that he listens to, people that advise him. That is exactly what I think Obasanjo meant.
Was saying
it doesn't necessarily mean that he can be bullied around.
Okay.
Peter is not somebody that you can pull around or bully around and all that. But we need a president that will have compassion.
Okay.
When something happens, there is killing here and there. A president that can visit the people and have compassion on the people.
Mm.
If the situation is not going well in the country, the president that come out and look at
American
president.
Thank you. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. I don't know why we keep going to America. I would say, let's talk some more. Let's talk some more quickly. Just to be very clear, before I come to you, Ose, the president, former President Obasanjo, did write, and I quote, I'm quoting now, one other important point to make about Peter is that he's a needle with thread attached to it from north and south, and he may not get lost. In other words, he has people who can pull his ears if and when necessary. End quote. So to just stop that there in case... we have people like John who are listening as well. So let me come to you about Pa Edwin Clark's endorsement. Is this some kind of concern for the PCC?
So in response to what, just to go back to what John said, I appreciate John's call. And I think I said at the beginning of the interview that I would have loved to have gotten a Obasanjo's endorsement because it does matter. So it's not a partisan position. I envy, I'm jealous of Obi that he got what we wanted. We've gone to see other gatekeepers and stakeholders in this country. We would love for them to come out to endorse us, and I think his endorsement, Obasanjo's endorsement of Obi, is Obi's gain. To me personally, it's a loss. I wish we had it. Again,
is it a loss to the PDP? I get it that to you personally it's a loss, but to the PDP, is it a loss?
Yes, it is, because I don't know if you remember in 2019, you know, we had this big song and dance when Obasanjo came out in Lagos, I think it was, and endorsed Atiku. In fact, this election season, we are still playing videos from that 2019 endorsement. So these things matter, I think, in just stirring or shaping the direction of conversation. It's not an electoral loss. Again, Obasanjo just has one vote. But it helps strengthen or weaken arguments. You know, Obi cannot go out and say, I have gotten Obasanjo's endorsement, and we cannot. All I can say is that for all the things that Obasanjo said, away from the fact that he can pull Obi's ears, talks about uniting Nigeria, when he talks about restructuring, it's mechanism that's leading that charge and leading the conversation. When he talks about uniting Nigeria, my candidate in the world who has been branded as...
I want to me about Edwin Clark's endorsement, quickly.
So, I'm trying to stay away. It's almost like we're talking about the Premier League. I want to start talking about... what's that
mean? What does that mean? What are you trying to say? This guy.
I just... Edwin Clark is, again, another elder states person. Again, he wields considerable influence in his own sphere. But, you know, if you read Obasanjo's six-page letter, it's something that you can put in a museum almost, in a museum of historical politics. Edwin Clark's endorsement sort of lacked the coherence that Obasanjo did.
Okay.
And I'm saying this advisedly again. I'm from the South, and Edwin Clark is one of our leaders. But the things he's campaigning for now, when he talks about power rotation and rest, he was at the vanguard of the attacks against it in 2010 and 2014, when power was supposed to rotate to the north, and Goodluck Jonathan was in a pole position to take the seat.
Edwin Clark did not put Nigeria first. He put his own sectional interest first and pushed and pushed and pushed. Again in 2010 and 2014, 2015. In fact, I remember when party leaders were trying to reconcile and resolve this issue. Edwin Clark was publicly attacking them in 2014 and 2015 because he wanted his own to become president. He did overturn precedents and traditions about power rotation. So when you hear him today now come back and become an advocate for, you know, justice, equity, and fairness, like I said, it's an endorsement that lacks coherence, and it really is the one I want to, you know, spend time talking about, because I myself speaking in a less than complimentary manner about my leader.
Okay. Now, I need to get your final word before we go. From what we have seen, at least from the outside, is looking like Jonas are going to endorse whoever they want to endorse at the end of the day, and your party will move on at the end of the day. Is there a likelihood of proportionally G5 governors? Is that option on the table?
It is on the table. I would urge that it's not explored. It's on the table, but our urge is not explored. I don't think it serves our interests or the interests of the nation if that happens. I think it just, you know, heats up the polity. The elections are already going to be very, very heavily and bitterly contested. I think expelling them just, you know, cranks up the pressures we are already experiencing. What my candidate is doing is ignoring them. He's maintaining a studious silence.
Yeah, we can see
we
that.
We are 55 days away. Ultimately, God and Nigerian citizens that will elect a new president. I don't think the party gains anything by expelling them at this point.
Ose Aneni, thank you so much for joining us on The Crossfire today. It's a pleasure having you.
Always a pleasure. And Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year again to you, too. Ose Aneni is a member of the PDP Presidential Campaign Council. And he joined us via the telephone all the way from Abuja this morning. That's where we'll leave it this morning. Thank you all for being a part of The Crossfire for today. What do we have tomorrow? Tomorrow is Health Thursday. We're talking I Care tomorrow. And on Friday, I'm hoping to be talking to the Labour Party people on the endorsement of their candidates by almost everybody, on the polling that are coming out and favouring their candidate as well. That's on Friday. Yeah? Okay. And next week, Monday, we have something pretty interesting for you as well. Okay? And JD will be back on Tuesday for Daily Digest. Daily Digest this morning, of course, is Dear Bumiso. We'll come to that after the news. At the top of the hour, I'm Sheriff Quadri. You can follow me across social media platforms. Instagram is Sheriff Quadri. I'm very active on Instagram. Twitter is my home at Sheriff Quadri as well. I've got a Facebook page where you can interact as well, Sheriff Quadri. We'll take the news. After the news, I'll still be here for Dear Bumi Daily Digest. Stay here.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
Looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.